In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we've said, today is the Christian tradition. In the Christian tradition, we call today Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday. It is the day that we commemorate how our Lord instituted the sacrament of the altar. And on the back of your bulletin, there's a list of the different names that we use for this: the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, and there are more. In his small catechism, Martin Luther defines the sacrament of the altar this way: it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine for us Christians to eat and drink. He goes on to say that forgiveness of life, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given to us under the sacrament. The biblical references of that, of course, can be found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in Paul's epistles. It is also true that, as we read in John's gospel, on the night when he was betrayed, before the Last Supper, Jesus gave his disciples and gave to us a new commandment. He told us to love one another. To demonstrate the self-giving, self-sacrificing, humble type of loving service that Christ wants us to render to one another, he took on the role of a slave and washed his disciples' feet. Additionally, on that night, after the Last Supper, as we also read in John's Gospel, Jesus prayed that all of his followers might be one. Christ wills that his believers be united. But the sad reality is that Christians are not one. We are not united. We see that play out in many different ways. Debates within congregations, debates between members of congregations, debates within denominations, debates between denominations. So often we just find ourselves tearing one another apart. Now, on one hand, it is absolutely true that we embrace as brothers and sisters in Christ anyone who names Jesus as their Lord. We absolutely do. On the other hand, we just can't deny that there are differences between individuals, between churches, between denominations, in how we understand the Bible, in the ways that we worship, what we discern God's will to be for us. And these differences are not insignificant. The Lord's Supper is intended to be a sacrament of unity. We are intended to come together in fellowship with Christ and in fellowship with one another, and there to be nourished and sustained by our Lord. But by the divisions that we have created among ourselves, these things become points of divisions. Even the Holy Sacrament becomes a point of division. Or should I say more accurate, not that the sacrament is a cause of division, but that by the opinions that we have, by the attitudes that we take, that becomes the point of division. If we all just took Christ at his word and adhered to the faith delivered once and for all to the saints, we could live in harmony. We could all celebrate the sacrament together. But we know that in this world, until Christ comes again, sin and error permeate everything. I'll give you a real-life example. In between my first and second year of seminary, I was in a training program called Clinical Pastoral Education. Basically, I spent the summer working as a chaplain, 4 days a week in a psychiatric hospital in Maryland, 1 day of that week at Johns Hopkins Hospital. In the program, there were three supervisors, a Presbyterian, a United Church of Christ pastor, and a Catholic priest, and there were about a dozen or more students, Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, a Roman Catholic, and some evangelicals. At the end of the program, we thought it would be really nice for us to have a picnic, and as part of that picnic, to celebrate the sacrament. That seemed very natural for us. But we knew that with the different understandings that the different people had about Holy Communion, there were going to be some issues. And you can imagine what they are. Are we going to use wafers or real bread? Are we going to use wine or grape juice? Are we going to kneel or are we going to stand? All those sorts of things. So we decided that the safest thing to do, rather than go for the lowest common denominator, was to go with the highest common denominator, all puns intended, and have the Roman Catholic priest consecrate the elements in the most traditional way. And that would satisfy the people who were very sacramental that this was a legitimate celebration, and those who had other understandings, they could take it as they would. Sounded like a very good solution until we brought it up to the priest. Now, the priest would allow some of us Protestants to come to his Mass. In fact, there are a lot of people who go to Roman Catholic Masses that aren't Roman Catholic. It happens all the time. Sort of a don't ask, don't tell policy. But in this situation, he felt very constrained that he had to follow canon law and that he could not give communion to anyone who was not in communion with the Church of Rome. So when he said, you know, if you want to pass around bread and wine, that's fine, but for me, that is not communion, and that kind of broke down the student coalition, and we decided, well, maybe it's best if we don't have communion. Now, some of you may have experienced in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod our policy that we call close communion or closed communion. It's something that our denomination struggles with. It's something that I personally struggle with. I know many of our members have. It varies how it's practiced from place to place. In some congregations, they will say, if you are not a member of this particular congregation, or if you are not a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I'm sorry, but we can't commune with you. Now, we are not nearly like that here at First Trinity. As you read in our bulletin each week, it's not about what brand you belong to. It's not about anything like that. If you believe that Christ is present, if you believe that Christ is here to forgive your sins, if you want to receive the presence of Christ, you are welcome to receive Holy Communion here at First Trinity Lutheran Church. But that's something we struggle with, and we struggle with it because of what St. Paul said in the epistle reading that we had earlier. He says that if we take the sacrament of the altar in an unworthy manner, then we are taking it to our condemnation. Well, what does it mean to take the sacrament in an unworthy manner? It can't mean that if you're a sinner, you can't take communion, because we're all sinners, and if that was true, then absolutely nobody, not you, not I, not the Pope, could receive Holy Communion. He talks about discerning the body, and that's where we're coming down. We're saying you need to discern that Christ is present here among us, making us one in this sacrament. And he says that if you don't discern the body, then you are taking it not to your benefit, not to your blessing, but to your judgment. And that's where the struggle comes in, that we want to welcome everybody. We want to embrace everyone. But we also need to say in a loving way, we don't want to do this if it's going to be to your judgment. Let's talk about what this means. Let's come to a common understanding. You know, then we can all go to the altar together and receive our Lord's body and blood with the benefits that he offers us. Now, I'll give you what sounds like a really bizarre example, but church I served, there was a lady in a nursing home, dear sweet woman. Church group came in, did their worship service. At the end, they said, we're going to have communion, with no words, no prayers, no explanation. They gave everybody cookies and red soda. And this dear sweet lady who's in Christ's nearer presence now said, is this the blood of Christ? And the pastor said, no, that's cherry pop. Okay, so you can understand why we want to be careful, that we don't want to join ourselves to anything in any way that would cause a person to question their faith, to question the sacrament. We take Christ's death very seriously, and we want to treat the sacrament very reverently. And we want to do that in a loving, welcoming, self-sacrificing, humbling way. So that is, in a nutshell, what we believe about Holy Communion and how it relates to our love of one another. And, you know, I have to tell you, from the traditions I grew up in, which didn't place a lot of emphasis on Holy Communion, and then later in life becoming a Lutheran Christian and understanding then really what it was that Christ gave us, I love the sacrament. And I love what I do. I love being a pastor and preaching the word and celebrating the Holy Communion. Those are things that are just so important to me. But you know what? I am not going to be able to do them in heaven. Because when we all get to heaven, there's not going to be any need for preaching. Everybody there is already going to be a Christian, right? And there won't be any need to celebrate the sacrament. Because we will have Christ unmediated presence. The sacraments bring God's presence to us in our world. There, we're going to see Jesus face to face. We're going to be at one with God. We won't need sacraments there. And there, all of these divisions, all of these misunderstandings, all of the ways that we are divided are just going to melt away. They're not going to be important anymore. God's love is going to cover it all. And that is only possible because of the events that happened on this night 2 millennia ago, when after the Last Supper, Jesus went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed to his Father and our Father that this cup might pass by, but then made that decision, made that commitment, not my will be done, but your will be done. And Jesus was betrayed and arrested and put on trial and sentenced. And tomorrow, Good Friday, we'll hear how he died for our salvation. Amen.